All right, Darby, I think we just got to jump right into this. We're doing a special podcast. It's just you and me here doing a special podcast. Not Raise Your Voice. It's not the hit show. But there's playoff baseball tomorrow, and the Rays are going to be playing the Blue Jays. So we just wanted to hop on and just chop it up for a little bit and talk about this huge three-game series. And I think we just got to jump right into it. How are you feeling nerves-wise?
Honestly, pretty good, oddly enough. I feel like the Rays down the stretch did what they needed to do to kind of really set the stage, go into the playoffs pretty hot, playing well, trying some different stuff. I think playing three against the Phillies and that Phillies bullpen was a nice refresher. I'm sorry, Philadelphia. Hopefully next year you'll have, you know, 9 new people in that bullpen, because that was brutal. That was brutal to watch. But yeah, the Rays, I mean, they ended the season really strong. They got to that 40-win mark, which it doesn't really mean much, but to me, it's just very clean, right?
Right.
3 years ago, the Rays get to 90 wins, which isn't nominally different than 89, but it feels better, right? It's a 90
definitely.
Win. Then that led to a wild card. Now this year, this was over 100-win pace, 40 and 20. They won 2/3 of their games in this short season. So ending strong like that, getting to that 40 wins, winning the division, winning the top seed, it's super exciting. You know, going in, it's like now they did everything they could possibly do in the regular season. Everything
yeah.
they could possibly do. They crushed this short sprint. Mm-hmm. Now on to the postseason, onto the wacky kind of March Madness style bracket. But yeah, I'm kind of feeling less like nervous about, you know, the season is a failure if something goes wrong, or if this 3-game series is kind of wacky. It's more like now it's out of our hands, right? It's like this
yeah.
is now
really.
Bring it, hope for the best. But 3-game series is now an even smaller sample. So I mean, feeling pretty relaxed. I'm excited.
Highest winning percentage in franchise history. You know, they finished with a .667 winning percentage. I don't know if it'll be recognized as that just because it's 60 games, but really incredible what the Rays were able to do, like with the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I said at the beginning of the year that I thought the only team that was capable of building larger than a 5-game lead in their division to win their division was the Dodgers, because of how short of a season it was going to be. The Rays won the American League East with a 7-game gap over the New York Yankees, which you can talk about how short of a season it was. You can talk about the injuries that both teams had to deal with. That alone, when you're only playing within your division and your geographic opposite in the National League, like that to me is incredible that the Rays were able to build such a huge lead over the Yankees, and really kind of like that happened these last couple weeks when the games for the Rays weren't as high stakes for the Yankees and the Blue Jays. At one point, like 3 weeks ago, it was the Orioles were like a half game behind the Yankees, and mm-hmm. they've turned it around since then. But the Rays never taken their foot off the gas after the first road trip of the year, where they dropped all 5 against the Braves and the Orioles. There has not been a time where the entire team is slumping. And that's incredible. Second best record in baseball, the best record in the American League, which, correct me if I'm wrong, like, that's the first time that's happened, right? 2008, 2010, I don't think they had the best record in the AL.
Yeah, I mean, this was an amazing season in that regard. It's totally different than a full marathon sprint or a marathon race where you have mm-hmm. to pace yourself, you have to build for the later. However, the way the Rays did it, and this is, to me, a testament to Kevin Cash as a manager. He, in all honesty, like, you know, for a long time, because Joe Maddon really did change the culture in Tampa and St. Pete for baseball there. He changed the culture entirely. He brought the new weirdness that became kind of emblematic of the Rays. And he brought him winning. He brought a winning team to the Tampa Bay area. He was always going to be kind of like on that Mount Rushmore of like coaches and managers. However, Kevin Cash has proven that, you know, this sort of diverging path, right? That Kevin, you know, Joe Maddon leaves to go find success in Chicago and now get to hang out with Mike Trout while they go home and to their vineyards. But Kevin Cash has not been a step down. It's been a, at best, like lateral to maybe even an improvement in the way that he has been so willing to adjust to any new idea, new challenge. I mean, this year was always going to be different, right? It was going to be a huge curveball to every team. Nobody was built for a 60-game season. Yeah. Nobody was built to go to try to make an 8-team playoff. Like, the baseball threw new rules and changes like during games, basically, as you were going. Like, by the way, this game's only going to 7. Bye. And then just, like, leaving. And Kevin Cash, because of the fact that he is maybe one of the most progressive managers in the game in terms of what new idea? Let's try it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Bullpenning, sure. Opener, bulk guy, sure. Closer by committee. He's perfected that this year. No manager in baseball is quite as adept at adjusting to the weird than Kevin Cash. And that really proved out this year that the Rays and you know, managers tend to get a lot of credit for good that's maybe more than they should, and a lot of blame for when it's bad. However, watching the season especially closely, the way Kevin Cash had to manage this season with no real spring training, with a start of a spring training, then a multi-month gap, and then another very short spring training. I mentioned it a while back, either on the Hit Show or Raise Your Voice. But that stretch, that first sort of couple weeks, especially with that losing road streak, it did feel like a second or like continuation of spring training, right? It sort of continued spring training 2.0. And that's how Kevin Cash managed it. And I think that was the right choice. And as much as it really sucked at the time, it was the right choice to say, you know what, we're going to try some pitchers. We're not going to panic. We're not going to try to be like, win today. Like, we have to get this win against the Orioles to salvage this road trip. It's like, no, we're going to play what we need to do. We're going to trust certain guys to work through it. We have to get the work in because we didn't get it in spring. And so I think that type of managing is a little different. He does deserve more credit than I would usually give to a manager, because he really had to put, he had to push a lot of buttons this year. And some of those choices are not, not easy. To sort of say, like, we're just going to sit there and lose to the Orioles, but we're going to leave maybe a reliever that's not quite as good in, or give them that test to see, I want to see another other inning, because later on in the season, we're going to need this guy to come back for 2 innings rather than 1, and kind of try that stuff. So I think Kevin Cash, he's clearly to me the manager of the year in the AL, but I think this is one of the best managed seasons I've seen in baseball. Period.
Right. Yeah. We can talk about manager of the year for a second, because you could make the argument that Rick Renteria is deserving, or that Charlie Montoyo is deserving. And I think there probably is a case for those managers. But if Kevin Cash didn't win it 2 years ago, if he didn't win it last year, and if he doesn't win it this year, then what does he have to do to win the manager of the year? Is he ever going to win it? And manager of the year has always been a weird award. It doesn't always go to the manager of the best team. It's either someone that hasn't won it before and put together a really good team. It's a guy that, you know, maybe has a low payroll, like Bob Melvin has won it. He's won it a few times, and Madden won it when he was here. So if Kevin Cash doesn't win it, I think he will, but it could be close. Like, when will he win it? Because if he doesn't win it this year, I don't know if he'll ever win it. Because it's not based on the postseason or the success you have in October. Mm-hmm. If it's based on the regular season, which is like when the voting is done, this is the year that he's going to win it. Best record in the American League. The whole national narrative around the Rays was funky season. They're built for this. They've got a manager for this. And Kevin Cash embraced that, and the Rays succeeded. They won 40 games this year. No one could have expected the Rays to win 40 games this year. Like, and no projection has any team winning 2 out of every 3 games that they play, unless you're the Los Angeles Dodgers, who did do that. But the Rays stepped up and did it too. So, yeah, I hope he wins it, just because, like, if he doesn't, I can't see a situation where he does in the future, because it's almost like the Rays have gotten past the point where Kevin Cash is like the new manager on the block with a really good team. You know, there's going to be some, you know, the next guy that steps up and wins it with, you know, takes a team from worst to first. So I don't know.
When Matt Quatara goes to Boston and then they bounce back and spend a bunch of money, and Heim spends a bunch of money, then he'll win the manager of the year next year or something.
Right. Yeah. It's like you saw Rocco win it last year, you know, and he came from the Kevin Cash tree. So it's got to be Kevin. Like Kevin Cash, all of his, you're seeing Montoya go out and get a managerial job and take a team to the postseason. Baldelli did it last year and did it again this year. Like, they're all getting the praise, and Kevin Cash is getting a ton of praise. I don't want to be like play the victim here where, oh, no one cares about the Rays, no one cares about Kevin Cash, because the Rays are getting a lot of praise from the national media, and deservedly so. So I don't want to play the, oh, we're a small market team. Like, I don't want to play the victim card. But when it comes to manager of the year, I will be upset if it goes to Charlie Montoya. Not because he's getting it, because I love Charlie Montoya, but Kevin Cash deserves it. And there really isn't, like, another manager that deserves it even close.
It's a really tough, like, manager of the year is a really weird. Eno Saris of The Athletic was talking about how he has the vote this year and he hates having that as one of the votes because there's no statistics to really use. There's no metrics you can say, like, there, it's so much about gut and feel and what you see. And this year in particular, a lot of writers haven't gotten a chance to watch everybody. They only watch their division. So
and
that's
they're not
a
in clubhouses
change.
Either.
And they're not in clubhouses, which is a huge part of it, is how does this guy interact? How does he talk? And so there's so much feel about it. And the game has sort of evolved way past the idea of like this feel and gut instinct thing, that it is sort of weird. It's still a hard thing to manage, but this year in particular, it really does feel like, I feel like very invested in the idea that it would be a outrage if Kevin Cash doesn't win. Now, I did think for a while that Rick Renteria and Charlie Montoya it was going to be Kevin Cash is great. And then, the Rays are really good. So whatever. And they kind of, people ignore it and they go like, oh, Rick Renteria, the White Sox are there a year ahead. And, oh, Charlie Montoya, the Blue Jays are there a year ahead. And with Charlie, they did have to play 100% of their games on the road. They had to play in a minor league stadium. They were the homeless Blue Jays. It's a weird thing.
But they're the eighth seed.
But they're the eighth seed. And they were a 500 team, basically. They're a little bit above 500, which is, you know, they would have probably been in a 100-game season. You're looking at probably 84, 85 wins, right? Uh-huh. Maybe they got hot, get it up to like 87, 88. That's a good season. That's a really good season. That's definitely a little bit ahead. In a longer season, though, maybe that pitching, especially that bullpen, really drives them down, and maybe they only finish 82 wins, 81 wins, maybe 80 wins. Mm-hmm. That's right around where they should have been. That's where their projections were. Right. They were a fine team. They had a great young offense, and they have some flaws. They have a lot of really successes, and they're a dangerous team in the postseason, as we'll talk about. But like, they didn't do anything different than what they should have. And they made the postseason only because pretty much everybody with a pulse made the postseason. White Sox, similarly, once the White Sox kind of had a pretty bad sort of slump at the end of the season, that might have killed Renteria's chances there. That if they would have won the division, that's one thing, but that kind of slide at the end might have sunk Renteria's chances, just because you kind of want to end with a spark. And the fact that the Rays, they won everything. They won the most in the American League. They won the second most wins in all of baseball behind just the Dodgers. And they won the division. They won the top seed. They are the class of the American League. It's kind of like, okay. And they also had the injury. So they also have that storyline. So I think they have the adversity. They have the success. They have all those things. Whereas the White Sox and the Blue Jays, great job by both of those managers. Every manager did a great job this year in the circumstances, for sure. But I also want to say that one of the other things that I think should be added on, it's kind of weird here, but what should be added on to this is the safety element. Kevin Cash and the Rays, for like most of the season, they seem to take the whole COVID and social distancing policies and all of those policies that baseball implemented, they took them incredibly seriously. They talked about on those road trips how strict they were, how that clubhouse stayed really together about the idea of they don't want to mess this up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because that does come down. It's a top-down thing. We saw how that went really poorly in some other places. Yeah. And players are going to do their own thing. It's not always the manager's fault, but it is part of that culture, right? That clubhouse stayed together. They won together, but they also we're all on that same page of let's not mess this up. Let's not go out to a party. Let's not break that curfew. Let's follow these guidelines because this is a special season. So I think, again, everything lines to Kevin Cash, manager of the year.
Yeah. If you want to reward the Blue Jays, the executives of the year, the front office of the year, look at what they did, what they've done with this young group of players. And then this past offseason, they went out and got one of the biggest free agent pitchers on the market in Hyun-Jin Ryu. And that's really paid off. And at the deadline, they went out and added Taiwan Walker and Robbie Ray. There's a front office that's continuously made, you know, aggressive moves to try and compete, especially when their window of opportunity came a year early, one with the success of the young group of Bichette, Biggio, and Guerrero Jr., but also when the goalpost got a little wider and the spot, you know, there's extra spots in the postseason. And that's what they did. So the Blue Jays are the eighth seed this year, but they're really set up for a run where they're going to be competing for the division starting next year. So I don't want to belittle the Blue Jays for you know, sneaking into the playoffs as an eight seed. But if the playoffs weren't expanded, Charlie Montoya probably wouldn't be as much of a candidate for manager of the year with the record that they had. So we should jump into the series. The Rays are playing the Blue Jays starting tomorrow. This will either be out on Monday evening or on Tuesday morning. But yeah, Rays have a 3-game set against the Toronto Blue Jays. And in a season where the Rays were so dominant and the Blue Jays were just pretty good, it could all be over for the Rays come Wednesday. With it being a 3-game series. I don't know. Darby, that's always been my biggest gripe with this season. And I'm so happy and so grateful that they're playing baseball and that we're going to get a postseason, seemingly. But that, a 3-game series, it could be over just like that. And it's like the Rays and Blue Jays were close this season. 6-4, the Rays won the season series. 3 games at the Trop, obviously no fans before they head off into the quasi-bubble. But I don't know. I'm very gun shy right now, like to get fully invested in this postseason run. If they can get past this 3-game series and get into a more traditional playoff format, then I think the nerves are really going to kick in. But I don't want to let myself feel let down if they lose, 2-1 in this series against a pretty good Blue Jays team. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, any 3-game series, like I've sort of joked about it in like the Slack and on Twitter, basically. I'd be nervous facing the Pirates in a 3-game series right now. And the number one draft pick, congratulations to Pittsburgh. Enjoy Kumar Rocker. I can't wait to trade, Glasnow in 5 years for Kumar Rocker and plus two, and keep Ryan Hayes and yeah. 3-game series is an absolute mess, right? It's almost more crazy than a 1-game.
I was just about to say that.
Because you can't throw everything into that game one. Because the next day, you're playing in less than 24 hours the next day. So yeah, it's totally different. It feels like a prelude to the actual postseason, right?
Yeah.
And it's gonna be exciting in that regard. And at least it is nice that you can't have one shaky start and then your season's over. But you can have two shaky starts and your season's over. So the Rays, I think, got thank you to Baltimore Orioles, who finished ahead of the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So fourth place, Baltimore, not in the basement of the AL East. Good job, Baltimore. They beat the Blue Jays because the Yankees got spanked down by the Miami Marlins. So that was the difference between the Rays facing the Yankees as the eighth seed in a 3-game series and facing Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka versus facing the Blue Jays. So that's a big difference. That was huge. I did not want to have to face the Yankees in a 3-game. Not that I want to face the Blue Jays, but Gerrit Cole is 1/3 of those games and you only need to win one more. Yikes. That's scary.
In the Rays Yankees, that series with the buildup that it's had and it almost come to a boiling point. If it hasn't already, it deserves more than a 3-game series.
Right. Yeah. It just wouldn't feel there. So with the Blue Jays, it's interesting. They're going to the Trop, which is big because that Blue Jays offense plays so well in Buffalo, that smaller, more weird stadium. It's one of the weird few times we can say a weird stadium and not say the Trop, but it is it plays a lot differently, right? So that's going to be big. Blue Jays are very right-handed. Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting because the first game is going to be Blake Snell, mm-hmm. Former Cy Young winner, ace of the Rays, lefty. So mm-hmm. that's going to be the one game that I think the Blue Jays have the at least the batting order advantage. Not that Blake Snell is somebody that any team wants to face, and I'm sure those Blue Jays are not excited to have to face Blake Snell and then Glasnow and then potentially Charlie Morton, but Snell is at least a lefty. So you got the position advantage except for Biggio, who's the only lefty uh-huh. that'll be in there. But other than that, it's all righties in that lineup. So this is going to be an interesting game because it also is the one Blue Jays starter we mentioned, or you mentioned earlier, Hyunjin Ryu, who is a legitimate ace, or at least set maybe a second tier ace. He is a guy that has thrown some amazing starts this year. He had a fantastic season, and he's a guy that absolutely could be the best shot for the Blue Jays to have like an advantage. I think Snell versus Ryu is a close pitching matchup. Batting order wise, the Rays will hopefully line up some good righties. We'll talk about some potential guys coming back from injury, but this is the game one is actually the game that I think the Blue Jays have probably the closest to an edge in. So we'll talk about games two and maybe three, but game one, let's say here, that is actually, I think the Blue Jays have a really good shot at this one.
Which is scary because if you go down 1-0 in this series, you're playing in two elimination games in back-to-back days. But if I were to refute that, I'm looking at the team stats this year versus left-handed pitching. The Blue Jays, 10th in all of baseball versus lefties with a 107 WRC+. The Rays, 4th versus left-handed pitching with a 121 WRC+. Now, again, that's just the starters. That only accounts for half the game. But the Rays have been able to put runs on the board against Ryu. They did it on opening day. I think they scored 3 against him. Blake Snell, his first start against the Blue Jays, I believe was only like 2 innings. It was like his first or second start. It was that first start. I think it was on that Sunday when he was still getting built back up. And then in his second start against the Blue Jays, I had it pulled up a second ago. He went, oh, and I lost it. He went 5 2/3 innings, struck out 9, walked 1, and gave up 2 runs. But in terms of how sharp he looked, might have been one of, if not his best outing of the season. That was back on August 24th. Had a 1.57 xFIP in that game. Faced 22 batters and struck out 9 of them. So Blake Snell, a guy that, I mean, has looked probably better than I think a lot of people expected coming off the 2019 season. And given how weird his buildup was, he didn't make it past 3 innings until his 4th start of the season. Still hasn't pitched into the 7th inning, but a guy that I don't think the Blue Jays can be excited about facing. But you could say that about really anyone in the Rays rotation, including the guys that won't be getting starts in Yarbrough and in Josh Fleming. So I do agree with you that if there's a game that you're going to pick the Blue Jays to win outright, it's this one. But with that being said, I'm still very confident in Blake Snell, because if there's not that Blake Snell has training wheels on this year, like if there's a game that you're going to take the training wheels off and let Blake Snell get to 110, 120 pitches and let him go 6, 7, 8 innings, it's this game. And that's going to play huge for the Rays. And even if he only goes 5 or 6, you've got your bullpen, a full day off yesterday. They're rested. They're ready to go. Give me Fairbanks, Castillo, and Nick Anderson. So,
And let me be clear ahead. Though, when I say that the Blue Jays, this is probably the closest to an advantage game, that I still would put it as a toss up, right? A 55-45% or this whole series, the Rays have the second highest percentage likelihood of winning. That Fangraphs odds came out. They're about 64.5%, I believe. So only second to the Dodgers series over the Brewers. The Rays are the favorites. Let's not, I know it's always tough. It's always, I think, especially for Tampa Bay fans in general, like anytime the Bucks or the Lightning have any chance of like being like a good team, it's always, we want to kind of like soften the edges and be like, well, hold on, we're kind of the underdogs. And it's like, no, you're the overdogs. The Rays are, they have the top record in the American League. They're coming into this series a strong favorite, a very strong favorite. Now, all that, you know, ideas of three-game series, anything can happen, is true. However, you want to be in the Rays situation here. They have a 64-65%, you know, playoff odds, and that's true. Like, they're gonna be, if you play, the fact is, if you played the series out many, many times over the course of the season, the Rays, well, they did this year, and over the course of a longer season, the Rays would win more. With baseball, if you shorten that sample, anything can really happen, but it doesn't change the fact that they have the higher likelihood of this occurrence. So if you go down the list in terms of like team versus team stats, right? If you think about, so bullpen wise, the Rays are the top bullpen in baseball by Fangraphs WAR. They were the best bullpen again this year after last year being the best or second best to Oakland, depending upon the metrics you want to look at. So they have the best bullpen. Starting pitching wise, they have the better pitching staff. Defense wise, they have the better defensive stats. Everything is, it actually, by DRS, the Rays were the number one team by defensive runs saved. The Blue Jays were 29th. So some rough defensive metrics there for the Blue Jays. When it comes to offense, that becomes where it's closest, because a lot of times, you mentioned the stats versus lefties, right? I think a lot of times you would imagine, if you ask somebody on the street, who has the better offense, the Blue Jays or the Rays, you think, oh, obviously the Blue Jays. I can name five Blue Jays. You know, I can even say Teoscar Hernandez is right. Awesome.
He's been their best hitter.
He has been their best hitter. And so you would be like, oh, Vlad Jr. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Bichette. Yeah, he's amazing. The flows, he's got it. Biggio, that's a name I remember.
Yeah,
I
know these guys are all Hall of Famers.
Yeah. How is that even possible? But then you look at the numbers, the Rays were the better offense. If by WRC plus, the Rays were 109 on the season for as a team, the Blue Jays 108. So very, very close. So even in offense, where you would say that the Blue Jays had the advantage, the Rays were still the better team there. So the Rays have a clear advantage, a strong advantage in defense, pitching, bullpen, and it's pretty neutral in offense. And the reason that is that I think pound for pound, lineup for lineup, 1 through 9, you'd probably take the Blue Jays in terms of those names. Like individual, they do have some star caliber guys, but the Rays always put their players in the best position to win. So their lineup, 1 through 9, will not be the same game one against Ryu than it will be game two against, say, Taijuan Walker if he right. starts. Right. You'll see it completely different. The Rays are the first team in baseball this year to throw a 1 through 9 all left-handed, natural left-handed hitter lineup. So they could do that again to Taijuan Walker. So what you see is versus a lefty, it's going to be different. Versus a righty, it's going to be different. And because of that, because of the way Cash pushes those buttons, he's able to suddenly outperform a dominant right-handed hitting lineup like the Blue Jays on the season.
I don't understand how they can call this the wild card round. When the Rays are the best team in the American League playing in the world. Just call it the first round. It doesn't matter. Just call it only because they're only calling the wild cards. They're not even calling the teams that finish second in the division wild cards. So technically, one quarter of all teams across baseball in the wild card round are wild card teams. And the Blue Jays are one of them. So anyway, I mean, like the biggest thing with the left-handed pitcher in game one, we saw it last year, a guy that came back right at the end of the regular season. We were pretty sure he was not going to play in the wild card game. Just kidding. He's batting leadoff, Yandy Diaz, dealing with a hamstring issue. I don't know. I think he's got to play. I think you're going to DH him. You give him an at-bat, you know, maybe if it's still barking or it's still hurting him when he's rounding first base after he gets his first hit of the night, you readjust. But, I mean, Yandy's got to play, right?
History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. That's a great, great quote. And basically, yeah, it's looking like the exact same as last year, right? Yandy, lower body injury, comes back. And Kirk Gibson's the Oakland A's out of the postseason, right? Uh-huh. Or actually, he doubles it. He's a two-time Kirk Gibson.
Right.
This year, it's looking the same as well. Like he's getting back. Tash and Eric Neander were talking about how he's looking good. Him and G-Man Choi have been taking some batting practice, have taken some fielding. So they're looking good. They're looking like they might be ready. We won't have the full postseason roster probably until like right at the last possible chance.
I thought we were going to have it today, but apparently not until, you know, classic deception. Just, we're not telling you.
Yeah. Rays will limit it. But yeah, so I do think we'll see Yandy. If he can swing a bat, he's going to be on that roster and he might be batting leadoff, right? You're going to see a lineup where you're going to have guys like Yandy Diaz, who for his career has a 129 WRC plus against lefties. He is a menace to left-handed pitching. We also got Mike Brasseau, who really emerged as a lefty masher off the bench. Mm-hmm. You're going to see him in there. You're going to see Randy Arozarena, who has proven to be a superstar in the making. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably talented and exciting. So a nice battle between two former Cardinals outfielders. I feel like every series has at least one Cardinals outfielder in it. So you got Teoscar and Randy Arozarena. You're going to have a lineup where you just have these awesome right-handed bats you can throw out there. Willie Adames. You got G-Man Choi is probably not going to be batting switch, and he's probably not going to be coming back for this game. But maybe as a pinch hitter, never know.
If Ryu is dealing deep into this game, and somehow how they set up the lineup, Yandy can't go in the field. He can DH. So you've got Nate Lowe at first. And say Ryu is pitching into the eighth inning, it's 1-1. Do you let Choi bat righty over Lowe batting lefty?
I don't, but Kevin Cash, he's a honey badger out there. He would maybe if Choi was like, I got this. I got one more righty swing in me. That would be a kind of a move. That would be funny. That's the baseball movie version of that game one.
I mean, at one point, like halfway through the season, G-Man Choi's right-handed home run was the hardest hit ball of the season for the Rays. I think that's been surpassed multiple times.
I think
now,
so. But yeah,
it's probably not going to happen. But I will say, like, I believe
it's a fun idea. It's a fun idea.
I think you might have been even on that episode. When G-Man Choi was trying it out in spring training 2.0 or in summer camp, and we're like, is G-Man going to try it? Nah, there's no chance. There's no chance he tries in the regular season. And he does. So, I mean, it's a non-zero chance.
It's a non-zero opportunity.
Let's try to put the lineup together. Let's pretend. Let's play Kevin Cash. Let's try to do this 1-9. And figure out this lineup. So leading off, I got to go Yandy Diaz, designated hitter.
If he's healthy to go, I'd say you got to go Yandy. He's great on base percentage. I mentioned it earlier in the season, right? You know, he kind of reminds me a lot of Kevin Youkilis, right? Like
this, I see that.
This guy who, you know, Youkilis had about 15 to 20 home run power, and mm-hmm. Yandy, I think, has that power, but he flashed it last year. This year was back to kind of being, you know, ground based attack, but I think he could get to that level, but it's that crazy on base percentage skill. So it's not your typical leadoff guy, you know, bigger guy, not super fast, but he gets on base. Mm-hmm. And that sort of was that money ball change. And that's where Youkilis became like one of the most valuable players in baseball, despite his weird batting style and the fact that he didn't look like a superstar baseball player, but he just got on base like crazy and was pesky. I think Yandy has that similar style to it. So yeah, get him on base, lead off. I think the alternative there is Manuel Margot, who is very fast, great against lefties, has really had an amazing season. We talked about that during the slump where he was dealing with the death of his father and just adjusting to the new team. And ever since then, he's been a delight, like absolutely amazing player. But I think if Yandy's good to go, if you are putting him into the lineup, you're thinking he's healthy, he is number one. He's got to be batting leadoff.
And you also want one of Margot or Phillips to be available on the bench to maybe run for him late in the game to run for Yandy. Yes. If he's going to hit in that one spot, if it's the seventh and he gets on base and it's a tie game, or the eighth or the ninth, and you've got Brandon Lau, who I would have hit in second, you know, you want someone that Brandon Lau can drive in a ball to, on a ball to the gap. So that could be Phillips or Margot, I think. Mm-hmm.
So we got one is Yandy. Number two, I think you mentioned him. I think Brandon Lau has been that spot, number two, and I think that's a good spot for him.
And he's at second base, too, not in the outfield for this one.
Yes.
Number three could be up for debate, depending on what you want to look at. Who would you take?
I think I go Randy. He's been batted as the best right-handed bat in the lineup, and I don't see any reason why to change that. He's tons of power, tons of speed, super hardworking kid. Like this guy, he was gonna make it to the majors this year, despite having all the weird alt site stuff, but he was just crushing in the alt site, as all the reports were. He was just abusing doubles left and right, and just peppering the wall. And so he's come up and done the same. So I give me Randy Rosarena.
Left field, you think, playing left?
Yeah, I'm going to go him in left field. And then when we get to it, Hunter Renfro is going to be in right field.
I agree with you there. Number four, I'm going Mike Brasso.
I was going to go Brasso as well.
And he would
A Rays postseason game, and the cleanup hitter is Mike Brasso, and we're both happy about it.
Yeah, and we're like confidently saying, like, if I was listening to this audio back in February or even like July when they broke camp, and you were telling me the Rays were going into a three-game series to as the number one seed, and they were playing Mike Brasso, playing him at all, let alone starting in the cleanup spot. That would have been insane. And it might still be insane, but Mike Brasso at third base, or would he have to
fill in? Yeah,
Yanni's DH, Randy's in left, Renfro.
I think this is where it comes into a trickier spot, because I think your big choice is going to come down to Nate Lowe or Yoshi Tsutsugo. Mm-hmm. As your lefty in there. I think I like Yoshi a bit more in this matchup. So I think I have to go with, and it's brutal, but luckily I think the Blue Jays throw a lot of balls into the air. So it's going to be up to the outfielders to come chase it down. But I think I got to go with Yoshi at third base. So that means Brasso is at first. Not a great defensive third baseman, but he's flashed some okay plays. Brasso is a bit better defensively, but he's also not great defensively. So I don't think that's a huge downgrade. So I'm going to put Brasso at first.
And if you were to go with Nate Lowe, it'd be flipped. You'd have Nate Lowe at first, obviously, and Brasso at third. So
yeah, which is, again, I don't know defensively which is a better mix. I think it's actually a lot closer than you'd think with Yoshi and Brasso versus Brasso and Nate. He's been okay at first, but he hasn't been G-Man Choi level defense at first. So I think either way you can go there. But I think give me Yoshi and give me Brasso there. And then I think actually think Yoshi after Brasso. I don't want Yoshi fifth because he has that good on base ability.
Right. And you don't, even though Kevin Cash stacked nine lefties in one lineup, still on most days likes to mix it up lefty righty. And if you've got a Rosarena and Brasso hitting back to back, the natural decision would be to have Yoshi fifth.
Yeah. And Yoshi's platoon splits aren't too crazy. So he's somebody that isn't completely dominated by lefties. And he's as a really pesky hitter. He works at bats really well. So I think that's somebody you really want there. In that spot, he actually had a higher WRC plus against lefties than righties. That's a small sample size thing, but he's not a guy that's completely dominated.
Not a liability in the lineup against lefties at all.
So we got Yandy, Lau, Randy, Brasso, Yoshi Tsutsugo fifth. I think you go Willie here.
Willie or Renfro? I would go Renfro in right field.
But I think Renfro is the better hitter here. I think it's interesting how the way Cash has batted these guys, he's put Renfro lower. Mm-hmm. So I think he thinks, but Willie's at home and he doesn't hit well right. at home this year for some reason. So this is a really tough matchup. I think that one I would be fine with. You could flip them around. So
right. Yeah.
Willie and then Renfro will be 6-7.
And Renfro's in right field. Willie obviously a shortstop.
Yeah.
So those we'll say either one of those guys 6-7.
I think you could also make the case. I would put Renfro in there, but if you want to upgrade the defense a little bit more, you could put Manuel Margot instead of Renfro,
right,
as your right-handed bat for the defensive purposes. You're going to have Kevin Kiermaier in center field.
Yeah,
definitely. You can't put Margot in there at center field this yet. I think you have to have Kevin Kiermaier, and he will be number 8.
Yeah, you could go Margot. I think the trade-off is pretty big there in terms of offense and defense. We're trying to play Kevin Cash, but in my head, I'm kind of making the lineup that I would make. I would go Renfro. It wouldn't shock me if it's Margot. I don't think it's going to be Margot. It wouldn't shock me. But yeah, KK in center, batting 8th, and then that leaves the catching spot, which, do you go Mike Zunino or do you go Mike Perez?
Or Kevin Smith if he makes the roster. That'd be weird, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Kevin Smith, top 10, versus left-handed pitching as a hitter, like in all of baseball. It's again small sample.
So is there a chance Mike Zunino, if you go Kevin Smith on the roster, is there a chance Mike Zunino gets left off for this 3-game series and maybe added back on for the next round?
I don't think so. I think it's Zunino, but I just want to bring up the Kevin Smith thing.
I mean,
that's there, but
it's possible they like his bat. They liked his bat enough to like play him on the big league roster for most of the season, even though he wasn't getting a ton of plate appearances.
Yeah. I think the defense is a big key there. Zunino hasn't had his best season defensively, but he is a top 10 defensive catcher. He's really works well with pitchers, and he's actually swung a pretty decent bat. He has the third highest barrel percentage of all the Rays this season. So
he had a pretty high barrel percentage last year, though. Not really high, but like higher than what his numbers showed.
When the barrel hits the ball, it's great.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about all the times that it's not hitting the ball. But when it hits, it's spectacular. He also can run into one. So like your bet, it's a nice batter. One swing of the bat, Zunino could change like the outcome of a game, and the defense is there.
And in this case, a series.
Yeah, and that's huge. So like that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, he might go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, but
right. He's
also playing good defensively. So it's like if he goes 1-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, and that one is like a lace double that scores KK, that's worth it right there.
Yeah.
If this whole series he has one hit and it's a home run, that could be worth it. So I think defensively, I like him more than Kevin Smith by a pretty good margin. I like Kevin Smith's bat more versus lefties, but I think I have to go with Zunino.
So we've got the lineup figured out. Let's talk about the roster, because it's 28 players. Mm-hmm. They decided to not cut that down to 26.
We did talk about that, how like they shouldn't, and they finally, it took them a while, but they eventually got there.
They listened. Did. They're probably listening to the show. So.
Yeah. Thanks for following along.
Thanks, Uncle Rob Manfred, for listening. But with it being a 3-game series, that makes it interesting. So you talked about whether or not they would roster Kevin Smith. Probably would be a bold decision to roster 3 catchers for a 3-game series.
Yeah.
With that being said, you also don't need as many pitchers in the bullpen for a 3-game series, especially when you know you've got your 3 starters healthy, and they seem to be at this point fully built up. With Snell, Glasnow, and Morton, which will be the order in which they pitch. So you could make the decision to either add another position player, it doesn't have to be a catcher, or take a catcher off the roster and add to the bullpen. I would almost rather they bring in another position player, and I don't know who that would be. I don't have the playoff pool in front of me. I probably should pull that up. But, I mean, what are you thinking there?
It's really tough. So I think I would say in this series, right, you'd have no real need for a fifth starter. Mm-hmm. The fourth starter, Yarbrough is going to make the roster, but he could maybe piggyback on somebody or give you extended innings. Mm-hmm. We've also seen that is kind of Aaron Sledger's role, mm-hmm. right? He can give you two innings with like a lot of those sinkers that really get you some ground balls, or he can go three. Mm-hmm. He can go longer. So I think for the length in the bullpen, Yarbrough and Sledger's a lefty and a righty. That's who I take instead of, you know, Trevor Richards, Josh Fleming as like the, you know, guys that can go like four or five innings, or maybe you have to eat some innings in a game that's, you're maybe down a little bit, but you don't want to use too much of the good bullpen and you want to save some innings, but not completely punt it. I think mm-hmm. Sledger's and Yarbrough are good for that. So with the short, I think with the Rays, with the short series, the fact there's no off days, I think they can get a little bit more aggressive with their bullpen. Mm-hmm. I think JT Morgan was talking in the Slack how you could see Fairbanks and Anderson pitch all three games.
Yeah.
Which they have not done, but it is not impossible for them to do that. So depending upon workload, I think is the big key, right? If they have like a really tough inning, they probably are not available for next two days. But if they are, you know, if a normal clean Nick Anderson inning, he can probably push it because there's a lot of off days before the next series. I don't know who would be your other position player though that you would want.
Looking at the pool, would it be
Kevin Smith?
I don't.
Would it be Wander? We're gonna bring up Wander.
I'm not gonna say that Wander Franco is going to be on the roster tomorrow, but I'm not saying that he shouldn't be. Like, you've got to make room for Yandy if Yandy's coming back, and potentially G-Man Choi if you want him mm-hmm. for the three-game series. So right now they've got nine pitchers in the bullpen. One of the first one on the chopping block would be Ryan Thompson off the roster. And then the position players,
probably
it would be Kevin Smith because Phillips has no options. And I don't know, do the options come into play with playoff rosters?
No.
Okay, so you could technically leave Phillips off.
Because I think that it's the regular season is when the options.
Right, I think you're right. And so, but Phillips, I don't think you want to leave him off with his defense and his speed. But if you have to make room for just one player, you could bring Yandy on for Kevin Smith, leave him off the roster, and then you could add another position player to your bench and take off Ryan Thompson because you've already got Sliders that should make the roster, and you think Sheriff will probably make the roster. If they were to add another position player.
Sheriff can also go like three or so. He's a former starter. He's getting extended. We probably only trust him for two, but yeah, he could also go.
You can keep a guy like Fleming, who's going to be now part of the bullpen, and Yarbrough, who is probably, you know, going to be out of the bullpen. And if you were to add a position player, the number one candidate, probably Brian O'Grady. He's been on the big league team already. Another bat that's proven at least the AAA level. But after that, I mean, the next two options and the only other options in the player pool are Vidal Brujan and Wander Franco. Is there a chance that they're on the roster for this series?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always a chance. I don't think it's going to happen, but this is the Rays. Like, are you kidding me? Yandy Diaz was...
You'd have to make room on the 40-man for Wander.
So I think Wander less so. Brujan, I could see. I don't see the fit super clean.
Because you've already got
runners. I'm going to say it's like a 1% chance for Brujan, and I would say a 0.1% chance for Wander.
What about O'Grady, though? What do you think about trying to fit him on and adding another bat, a left-handed bat?
I could see it. So I'd say that's if G-Man can't go, I'll go O'Grady as a bench bat. But
look who it is. My God, is that Danny Russell's
Danny
music?
Russell coming in.
I couldn't let you boys have all the fun.
Oh, we were just talking. We just did our lineup. And do you want to guess for Hyunjin Ryo, game one, who we both picked independently for the cleanup hitter for number four?
I'm saying you went off the roll, off the wall went Renfro.
Oh, no. We batted him lower. No, we went with the choice that we were, again, saying how if we told ourselves this in July or pretty much any time of the year before August, we would try to slap ourselves. But we went with Brasso.
Brasso?
Ooh. Yeah. Which I think is actually probably going to be, he's probably going to bat like fourth or fifth.
Looking at the way the roster is going to shape up. I mean, and then the debate was whether he plays third or first or somewhere else, but
we're bringing Yoshi. We ended up with Yoshi. What would be your game one lineup, Danny?
I'm struggling with injuries.
Mm.
That's problem number one.
We assume
Yandy's in this scenario.
In our scenario, yes, he's in.
Wishful thinking.
Yes.
Okay.
We want him to do another Kirk Gibson.
And then what about Choi?
Well, even if he was in, I don't know if we would have.
We have him healthy, but
hasn't played in a bit. Yeah.
So he's on the bench to come in. Actually, Brett, your strategy was Ryu still in there somehow in the eighth, tie game. G-Man goes to Kevin Cash. He taps him on the shoulder and he says, "Kevin, give me one right-handed bat. I got it." And he comes in, hits a home run.
Oh my God.
Against Ryu right-handed.
We'd have to redo the championship round of the bracket.
It's Tara.
I would run through my wall.
So that's our baseball writing screenplay. That's our spec script that we're going to be shopping.
Well, in a small sample size, we have seen an incredible performance from Randy. So I think my most difficult decision to start off is where do you bat Randy in this mix?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go leadoff? Do you go number two? He at least needs to be in the top five. You did not go Hunter Renfro four, so I'm guessing you need Renfro at least five in this match.
We did decide to mix it up with the lefty righty matchup, so we have him. I think we had him like sixth. We had
six or
seven. So you're going Kevin Cash on this. You've got
either one.
You're mixing in your lefty.
Yeah. We had Yoshi fifth just because he actually does hit lefties pretty decently, but he also gets on base. So a little bit more on base ability there. And then Renfro, Willie.
Six and seven. Either way.
Okay.
Willie
Adames batting so low? I've been baffled by this all season. Oh, it is at the Trop.
It's his nemesis.
Oh, hit him ninth.
Yeah. Mike Zanino is going to get bumped up.
Switch him with Mike. Yeah, okay. We had Randy third. He's been such a stellar bat that you want him in one of the top spots. So.
Okay.
But you could switch if you wanted to do the reverse of what Kevin Cash has been doing with lefty-lefty right, left-left right. You could do Lau batting third and Randy second.
That's exactly what I need to start figuring out who's playing positions too. So I think
Wait a second. That's all out the window. According to Marley Rivera of ESPN, Matt Shoemaker is starting tomorrow.
Oh!
Oh!
You know who called that? Holman!
He just sent the tweet in the Slack.
Wonderful Korean writer, Homan Lee.
Our man in the East.
Charlie
on his article today about Ryu.
I know. I think Charlie
in parentheses
just pulled a Kevin Cash.
Shoemaker starting?
Wow. If you were reading D-Rays Bay, you heard it there first. That is great.
And I think where his brain was going with that, as the person who edited his article, was you start with Shoemaker. If you win game one, save Ryu. See if you need him. See if you need him in the second half of game two. See if you need him to start game three.
Interesting.
Because I think things got kind of weird with their rotation. All right, well, let's finish the Ryu conversation because I want to finish this against the lefty concept.
So that's interesting. So Matt Shoemaker, real quick, I have his numbers. The Rays have a lot of experience with Matt Shoemaker this year. He started three times. It's going from the very first in this season, which was Shoemaker went six innings, gave up three hits, one run, two walks, four strikeouts. So very good start. That's still in July, though. You're still in that kind of starting the season out, kind of mixing it up. And that was in the Trop. Next start in Buffalo against Tampa was four innings, three hits, 3 earned runs, 1 home run, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. So not as great. And then his last start, August 21st, against the Rays was 5 innings in the Trop, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 home runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. So he's been bit by the home run bug a bunch. And he has given him up at the Trop. Gets some strikeouts. He walks a okay number. For the season, Shoemaker has been the most, like, very league average, so slightly below. His FIP was really rough this year. He, in a lot of ways, he kind of, like, career-wise, he's had a little bit more success. He had one really big spark year with the Angels, but other than that, he's been pretty, you know, so-so. This year, ERA 4.71, it's a little bit below league average. FIP 5.95, so he's been tagged pretty good. But a lot of strikeouts, good K numbers, okay walk rate.
Yeah,
lots of ground.
I feel
balls.
Good about it. I liked Bo Bichette saying that he was like 0% afraid of the Rays. It's like, okay, buddy,
you're the 8th seed. Here's the thing. Guess what? If you lose, shave your head. That's if you're 0%, put up the flow.
Danny, yeah. I want to hear your Ryu lineup though. Whenever we see Ryu.
We're gonna get Ryu at some point.
I like the idea of Brasso hitting fourth.
Okay.
I'm cool with it.
It's weird, right? What a weird world we live in that we're all just like loving it. But it's
2019, Danny has to forget I ever said that. Okay. I don't know what position Brasso's at. I think you lead off with Yandy Diaz.
Yes.
And due to injury concern, I'm putting him at designated hitter.
Yes.
Because I don't want him straining anything, diving to the side, left or right. Not sure what's going on there. He's just been taking BP. Let that continue, right? So Diaz, designated hitter. Number two, a Rosarena.
Okay.
I want that high intensity, play the hot hand. I think he's fun. In a short sample size, I don't know if he's been the best right-handed hitter on the team, but I would not be surprised if he was.
I think highest slugging percentage in team history.
There you go.
If you lower the at bat,
how many PAs is that? 30?
Over 69. So there you go. That's the real standard we set.
Fantastic. Okay, so and then you have to have Brandon Lau in the first three, right? So my lineup goes Diaz, Rosarena, Lau. Then we got Brasso. Then I feel like you have to go Renfro.
All right, I'm okay with that.
Here's where it gets weird, right? So
we got righty-righty left, righty-righty.
Hugo has to come in.
Yeah.
I think we're assuming Yoshi can play, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, is he hurt?
No, I mean, I just thought they wouldn't stack only right-handed hitters, right?
Okay.
I think he is somebody that – I think Yoshi and Lau and maybe Kiermaier are the three lefties that you can put in.
Right, so that's where my brain starts going. So if we go Yoshi as a lefty in the lineup and you've got Lau as a lefty, then your third one probably is KK, which means he's hitting ninth.
That's so nice.
Drop KK down there. He's playing center field. Which means Adamas is hitting seventh in my lineup.
I think that's fair. And then you have your catcher at eight. So that's not bad.
Which Zunino, right? So
yeah. Adamas, and he can run short into one.
Yoshi has to play third base.
Third, yeah.
Which means, oh boy, Renfro in right field and Brasso is my first baseman. There you go.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I think that. So that's we sort of had the same lineup, but just a little different order. I like the righty, righty, left, righty, righty, left, righty, righty, left.
It's very nice Kevin balance. Cash.
Yeah, for sure.
Kevin Cash, he does like that. Yeah, interesting. Okay, so Shoemaker game one holding Ryu. Instant thoughts, gentlemen. Well, what are your Charlie Montoya, old friends?
No, I'm fine with it. Right, he needs to manage the arm. Right, so he's managing schedule.
My biggest thing is, like, you're going to see Ryu. Like, he's going to get game two. You've got Taijuan Walker now, who's been your second best pitcher, maybe even better than Ryu since you acquired him, that you went out and got at the deadline and now might not even pitch in the postseason for you if it doesn't get to a game three, when it would be, I think game two would be his normal start day. I think he pitched last on the 25th. So I think that's the mistake. Now, Shoemaker, I don't think like he's a liability out there. I think he gives you a lower chance to win. I understand the decision. I think that, you know, it wasn't really like a misdirection because he never said that Ryu was starting. But I don't know. It's not the decision I would make, but I am not a major league manager. So what do
I know? And when it comes to a three-game series, you don't really need to play your best pitcher first. You are not going to get him again. The series, there's no scenario where you can pitch in one game and pitch in another. Even like short, that would be wildly irresponsible. So
But you just unless have, you have they to plan on stacking, right? So if you are thinking, I'm going to put Shoemaker out there, I let him go once through the order, and then we bring in Ryu.
Or Walker.
Well, I think Walker.
I think
Walker's due to start. Like his normal rest would be game two. Yeah.
Because he could go after Ryu.
Because he pitched on the 25th.
Against the wall.
Right. So if you don't use Ryu at all at game one, and you're in trouble, you could stack up, yeah, for sure, Walker after Ryu. Why not? I mean, I like that mentality, and I don't think Montoya would be afraid to kind of mess around with it. It really does come down to the men, right? So the pitchers need to be comfortable with that entering a game late, pitching out of the bullpen at first, and all that kind of mental preparation. Who knows? If it's going sideways, let's say they drop game one, they use Ryu, they win game two. Now you have Walker for game three and you look like a genius. So I don't know. I'm fine with it.
I think the key here for the Rays still comes down to Ryu is the pitcher that's really good. He is the best pitcher on the Blue Jays by a large margin. And the drop off is pretty good after that. Like Taijuan Walker has had some good flashes, but you're not super afraid of Taijuan Walker. Matt Shoemaker has had some flashes. You're not super afraid of Matt Shoemaker. Robbie Ray, you're praying that you get a chance to face him because you may not have to ever swing. He'll just walk you, you know, 30 times. But in the bullpen, he could be really useful. Nate Pearson could be interesting. In the bullpen, he's not stretched out, but he can throw 102 maybe out of the pen. So they have some interesting arms, but like it's very high variance for the Blue Jays. Robbie Ray is a guy that could strike out 20 and walk 20 in the same game. He has a really interesting arm. And as a bullpen guy who he has kind of done bullpen in the past and was very successful, that's how he kind of started, maybe he can be good, but he could also go real sideways in an inning. And same with Pearson. Like those two guys have a lot of good stuff, but the command is there.
Gosh, it's going to be fun if Pearson's in there objectively. I mean, I want the Blue Jays to lose miserably. Don't get me wrong. But I do think it would be fun to see him pitch in the postseason.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I think we'll get some of that, but it's going to be interesting though, because he hasn't pitched in a long time.
You know, one of the things Holman wrote about this morning was that kind of the long ball comes out in the postseason.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's a certain kind of switch in mentality that happens. And on the pitching side, there's another switch that happens. And that's where the adrenaline is through the roof and pitchers stop giving a crap and they just start throwing as hard as they can. And we saw that like with Glasnow and Cole last year, and it was just bananas the miles per hour we were getting out of arms. I want to see Nate Pearson do that. I want to see him go out there and be like, I don't care anymore, and just mow. All right, now not mow the Rays though, so I'm conflicted here. But objectively, what a fun postseason pitcher.
Yeah.
He can pitch when the Rays are up 6-1, you know, in the eighth.
You need to kind of
crush it. Yeah.
Danny, I kind of want your take on this. Darby and I, we talked about it earlier. Say Yandy Diaz is ready to go. He makes the roster. G-Man Choi, not quite. Do you roster three catchers? Do you keep Kevin Smith there? Do you keep the same amount of pitchers? Or do you look at the rest of the players in the pool? And when it comes to position players, it's Ronaldo Hernandez, Vidal Brujan, Wander Franco, and Brian O'Grady. And do you pull from that group of O'Grady, Brujan, and Franco?
I think if you're going to pull one in, it's Bruján.
Okay.
I so desperately want to see Franco make this postseason. They gave him the single-digit jersey already. He is ready to come in. He gets the number five, uh-huh. right? And it feels like a break glass kind of thing where if, you know, all of a sudden you see Brasso re-injured, Diaz re-injured, Tsutsugo, what if they're not trusting his defense? It would be really interesting to then be saying, oh, no, cut Gil Martin off the 40, man. Let's throw in Franco now. Why not? How much fun would it be to see him take the field? But, like, I think if Choi is healthy, you only bring two catchers.
Okay. And if Choi is not healthy, do you still stick with Kevin Smith as that last position player?
Yes.
I went with Brian
O'Grady. It's a three-game series. It's a three-game series. It's not seven. In seven, I would kind of maybe even feel a little differently. But I like – because seven is just a different roster construction. But we're talking about in the short term, right? You want to be able to churn through and mix up your batting order late in games.
And you don't need as many
pitchers.
Like
there's going to be a lot of pitching changes in a three-game series.
I don't think
in a seven-game series with fewer pitching changes, I feel like you need to respond maybe a little less often. And then if there's an injury to a catcher, then you just drop and then you pull in Smith, right?
Yeah.
So –
it's interesting.
I think Smith is a more valuable piece off of the bench than O'Grady because of what you can do. Because you could actually, and you can pinch hit him. He could be a guy that you send up against Ryu if he's deployed that way. And again, Kevin Smith has one of the best bats against left-handed pitching over the last 3 years, oddly enough. But I do like
the Rays trusted O'Grady. We would have seen a lot more of him this year than we did.
That's a good point.
That's true.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then, like, you look at the pool. It's not going to be Bruján or Franco. Like, it would. I don't know. Like, it would have to be, like, knock on wood, Willy Adames falls down a flight of stairs tonight. Like,
yeah,
that's the type of situation.
Where I think Franco is the Willy Adames insurance.
Yeah,
I think that's where. Well, he's
I mean, Joey Wendell should he could play short this year.
Yes, but if Wendell is there if Adames is hurt for a game. If he's out for the rest of the postseason, then Franco comes in. That's where that comes in, I think. But I think it's like a 0.5% chance Franco gets added. Bruján, I put at 1%. But here's the thing. Anything Bruján gives you, I think Brett Phillips is there already for you. Because you're not starting Bruján with Brasso or Wendell.
We need a race pronunciation guide on Bruján.
On all Bruján. These prospects.
Yeah.
I know.
And Brett Phillips, though, we know. For,
so. Yeah, Brett Phillips is easy.
Pronounce. Totally right. Well, if you bring in Bruján, it's for the speed, right? If you bring in Franco, it's because you've had a catastrophic injury.
But you've got, for the speed, Phillips and Margot off the bench, most likely, especially against a left-handed pitcher. One of them will start. Like, Phillips will start against a righty.
Yeah. I definitely think Phillips is going to make the postseason roster.
That's 1,000%.
Just for the dance moves alone.
I mean, with Shoemaker starting tomorrow, I think you start Phillips at one of the outfield spots.
Ooh.
Oh, now there's something interesting.
That's a spicy one.
So let's do this. Let's do versus Shoemaker because it's the same lineup that you probably go against Walker or another righty that goes. So we have our lefty lineup. So that's if Robbie Ray were to get a start for some reason, that would be your lineup against him. Mm-hmm. And it just would hopefully be more successful than Ryu. Mm-hmm. First Shoemaker or versus Taiwan Walker, what is your right-handed – or what's your lineup?
Give me Yoshi leading off.
Yoshi leading off is mine as well.
Lock it in.
He is the – again, the he is the Yandy Diaz of the other side where it's great on-base percentage. We'll see a ton of pitches and we'll – frustrate the pitcher right off the bat.
I mean, so the Rays are consistently doing this, though. The top three here are Yoshi, Brandon Lau, or Rosarena.
Yeah. And I think that's what you'd roll with.
Why would that change in the playoffs at this point? Mm-mm.
I think that's a great top three.
So the question then becomes who follows. And with Choi hurt in his stead, Nate Lowe has been hitting fourth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So and do you continue?
I don't see you putting anyone else in that spot, given the roster makeup and the if it's a right-handed pitcher, I don't know if there's a right-handed bat that is good enough to where you'd put them in the cleanup spot over Nate Lowe. And you know what Nate Lowe is capable of.
Yeah, left-handed bat, yeah. I guess we know. It kind of looks like Choi.
Yeah.
Right. And Choi was your cleanup hitter.
Right.
So.
If Choi is healthy, this gets weird. Right.
I think in that situation, you get something fun, and I think you get both.
Because Nate Lowe can play third, maybe?
Ooh, no. He can stand there. He can stand there, but I don't want him playing.
So you
I think
you,
I think you go DH. I think you go DH. Yeah.
Because now Yandy's not in the lineup.
Yes.
Okay.
I think
you pull Yandy out in that case.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So and I think then you that go makes Nate. Your
third baseman Wendell.
Yeah.
Wendell.
Who easily. I think you can then go Nate Lowe, G-Man. Then you could put in a righty. That could be Willie. And then you can go back to Wendell, KK. You could have – and then that's where then you Phillips. Could do –
Who's the right fielder in that lineup?
Well, you need a catcher.
No, you don't need one. Not in 2020.
Did we have Phillips in that one? All right, let's write it down.
So Randy's in right field. KK's – yeah, Randy's in right field. KK's in center field.
And then
DH is Choi. First base is – Lau, Wendell, yeah. So I think in that situation, there's no left fielder. So you could put either Phillips, you could put Renfro, you could put Yoshi there.
We don't have a spot for Yoshi if we made G-Man Choi the DH.
So it's a matter of
Yoshi becomes the third baseman.
Yeah. So it's a matter of
or the left fielder.
Yoshi.
Left field. Yoshi can go to left.
Yeah. I think Phillips just. I don't think you can really get well, a then Randy. Start in him.
Hmm.
No, Randy's
in right.
Randy's in right.
Move. Has Randy played right field?
Tomorrow he will.
Like we just haven't seen him do it.
He's played right field for the Cardinals.
Some more news: Alvarado, Honeywell throwing to G-Man Choi and Yandy Diaz in a live BP session, according to Mark Topkin.
Great.
So
that's fun.
There's that.
It's so hard to guess with the injuries up in the air. I think the lineup we just discussed. So Yoshi, Bilal, Randy, Nate Lowe, Wendell, Adames, and then Choi was supposed to slot in here, wasn't he?
Yeah, you could switch Wendell and Choi.
Okay, so put.
I would put Wendell above Choi in this lineup.
Oh. That's what I was just about
he's been
to say.
Playing. He's been playing well.
I think that's fine.
You so could put Choi in that sort of... Do you put Choi behind Wendell?
I put Choi behind Adames, 7.
Yeah, I mix. I do the lefty-lefty right.
Okay.
And then you got Choi, what, that would be 8th, and then...
Kiermaier, Zanino.
Actually, no. So Yoshi, Bilal, Perez. Randy, Nate Lowe, Wendell, Adames gives you left-left-right. And then you can go Choi, KK.
Catcher.
Zunino, Perez.
Zunino, yeah.
Yeah, or either way. Zunino, Perez.
Left, left, Kevin right Smith. Again. Yeah. So then you get the same pattern, right?
Yeah.
So then I'm noting all these. Third base to Yoshi, second base to Bilal. Nate Lowe gets first base.
I think Yoshi's in right field in that situation, and Wendell is third base.
Yoshi's or right field.
No, that's why Randy goes to right field.
I don't know if I can put pictures in the Zoom chat, but there's a picture of Wendell Wander right Franco. Field? I doubt it.
Fascinating.
I mean, so
Choi messes this up. Choi messes up the defensive alignment.
I don't know. I'm not convinced if Choi is on the roster that he starts tomorrow.
And I think that's also fine because, like, having him as a bench guy is really nice for late.
It'd be fantastic.
And then you slot Yoshi into the DH and you start Phillips, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, and that's the defensive priority as well. I think the Rays are going to prioritize their defense over.
Because then the outfield is Randy, KK, Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's probably
the best Choi out,
defensive outfield possible.
Defensive outfield. Yeah.
And between KK and Besides Phillips, Marco. I guess KK hits higher, right? So
yeah.
KK,
Phillips has more of a – Phillips has been getting a lot of run. I think I could see it – that's if you wanted your lefties. I could also see them – they have not been playing Renfro against righties. And you can easily sub in. I think the other thing is if you don't want Phillips starting because you want him as a guy that you can deploy – later, I think you don't want Renfro because you want him as a pinch hitter later. I think Margot in right field gives you that defense. It's a maybe a little drop down on offense, right, but not really because Phillips is pretty shaky.
So would not surprise me to see Margot get the call. Would not surprise me
again,
at all.
Defensively, you have Kevin Kiermaier and Margot, or I mean Phillips is the best defensive outfielder not named Kevin Kiermaier on the team, but Margot is right below him. Like, he's pretty darn good. Like, those three are three of the best defensive outfielders in baseball, so it's a nice problem to have.
Sure.
But Phillips is faster. He is faster than Margot by sprint speed. So if you want the fastest guy to still be able to be used as a pinch runner somewhere in there, maybe that's how Kevin Cash. It's really
nice to see that the Rays. I just saw the picture you're talking about, Brett. Nice to see that they are playing Franco at shortstop. So clearly, he's the Adamas insurance, right?
Right. And from that one picture, yes. We don't know where else he's been playing today, but based on that picture, yeah.
In the warmups before the playoffs, he's at short.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's where it was kind of odd to be like when he got added to the roster. I think we all were like, "What's happening right now?" And then there was the miscellaneous reports where people were like, "He's called up," and it's like, "No."
But I would have liked to see him against Philadelphia. That would have been fun.
I would have been fun at the 40-man. It's such a tough spot because
is Gil Martin on the 40-man right now, or is he still?
He is still on the 40-man.
Okay,
he's going to be. He has to be dropped
on the 40-man.
He has to be if Alvarado's healthy, he was on the 45 man, so you would have to cut a 40 man spot for him,
which would be Gil Martin.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So he's basically there as the lefty stand in until.
Interesting.
Yeah, if you need it, but I mean, it's really just a matter of.
But he's also the last man, so yeah. It wouldn't be hard to move on if you.
And lefties for the 28 for the postseason against the Blue Jays, because there really is only Kevin Biggio as a lefty that you fear.
Kevin?
Kevon. Just kidding. I don't know.
Biggio Jr. Biggio Jr. Younger, the second. He's your lefty.
Biggio.
So I would say Ryan Shara. I feel like this is where like a Ryan Thompson might survive more than like a Sheriff or a Fleming, because how many lefties do you really need?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would just stack the lefties rather than take Thompson. And I love Thompson. Remember, I gave him my "I'll root for him no matter what" award last week. So yeah. I don't know.
I wouldn't put it past the Rays to, hear me out, cut Edgar Garcia if there's a 40-man roster issue.
If there's a need, yeah. I think they were going to try to avoid that at all costs.
But counterpoint. And I really hate to do this, but Reed's on the 45 injured, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes, for his Never finger mind. Issue.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even count as a 40 spot.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, he's good. He's here long term. The Edgar Garcia, I think they are gonna try it. I think they like what they see in him. I think there's something there. But yeah, if it comes down to it, like, they're not gonna withhold a healthy Yandy Diaz.
Right. The other option is moving McKay to the major league injured list.
Yeah. Or Honeywell.
Well, but Honeywell might be a candidate for pitching in the postseason? Question mark?
That would be a race move right there. Guy hasn't pitched in the majors, has had two major injuries, finally back. He'll like get the ninth in like a two-run game.
Oh,
that would be a Kevin Cash thing. Like,
O'Grady can go.
O'Grady would also. O'Grady and Ed Garcia are like these guys that are like very luxury for great games. Right? Like these are like, man, these would be guys that could start and should start. Like Edgar Garcia couldn't have been any worse than the rest of the Phillies bullpen.
Oh my lord, but, in heaven. He came from the Phillies.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He was on there.
Let's talk about the Phillies. 5th in runs scored. 10th in starter ERA. The bullpen is so atrocious they missed the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not the National League. Those were rankings in all of baseball.
I know that it's like they're the punching bag, the Phillies bullpen, but
yeah, the bullpen was a clown car this year.
I think it, and maybe it gets worse, but I think there's a chance it gets better for them in a full season where their offense
they have more time to respond, more time to adjust.
Right. So, yeah, it does not look good for the Phillies, who, other than that, looked like a really good baseball team. But it does hurt that, you know, it's expanded postseason and they still missed. Given the teams like the Marlins that finished above them.
So. There's just I'm looking at names here, and I'm just thinking, will this player be a meaningful piece of the 2021 Rays, right? And O'Grady, it's kind of hard to talk yourself into that one, right?
Yeah, definitely, especially with the bats that can hit from the left side.
Also, ain't no thing to lose Sheriff, lose Sluggers. Yep. I mean, great. They've been great role players right now. But if you got into a moment, I'm talking about 2021 now.
Yeah.
But like, you're looking at Rule 5 prospects who have to be added or traded, right?
Right.
You're gonna lose Taylor Walls or Josh Lowe if you don't roster them. So that's two position players right away that you have to bring in.
I think those
at that
are gonna
point
be,
probably Kevin Smith is out, and O'Grady's out.
Sheriff would be out too.
But on the pitching side, you got so Alvarado comes in, Gil Martin goes out, Reed has to come back in, and now you're like, dang it, I've got Thompson, Sluggers, Sheriff.
That's Sheriff. That's Sheriff's spot.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
And then Chaz Rowe. Are you going to keep Chaz Rowe?
I doubt it, especially at the price.
I don't think so either. A couple million for Chaz Rowe.
Yeah.
I like him. He's fun. He's a human highlight reel.
He'll get a gig somewhere
else. He's going to be good, yeah. Like, Philly should throw a bag of money at him.
There you go.
Maybe he can double his salary by leaving.
Mariners. Yeah. Mariners could be – that's a good spot for him there.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things. You see this – what you saw with the Astros, like just the attrition. Like they lost guys like Ramon Laureano, and then they've since just thrown at him every chance they've gotten because they just – the 40-man's packed with good talent. So you're going to have people that are just spilling over. And it's like, yeah, it's like, well, you're going to lose good – talent to the Rule 5. You're going to have to DFA a guy like Brian O'Grady, who could absolutely be a bench guy or even start for some teams, but it's just, you know, this is a good problem.
Real quick look around the league or across baseball. Your favorite underdog, that's oxymoronic, the underdog that you think has the best chance to get out of this wacky 3-game series, even though all of them have at least somewhat of a good chance to do it. I like the Marlins.
Marlins versus the Cubs. I think that's Marlins is a
great matchup for the Marlins. I feel good.
Great matchup.
That was my first gut instinct as well. I think so. The weird thing about the seeding is sometimes you look at a good team ranked at a lower seed, and so actually let's just go through. Let's make our playoff prediction.
Oh, all right. Okay.
How long has this podcast been going?
An hour and a half.
A while. We can cut some of that.
This
early
is
stuff.
The podcast. It's a podcast special. So,
all right. We're going to
combining both the podcasts together. So it's
all right. So round one, Rays or Blue Jays?
Rays. In two,
of course. In two, in one, the Blue Jays are just going to give up and go home. All right, Cleveland or New York?
Cleveland.
I got the Yankees.
I think this is going to go three. I think Cleveland, it's in Cleveland. The Yankees are not in their safe space over there in New York. I think Cleveland takes
That's true. And those WRC plus splits for the Yankees are not good. But they haven't played the Indians. Like, that's hard.
This is the best matchup in the first round.
Group of three. There's two options. I'm the tiebreaker. Come on, the Yankees are going to win. All right, next round. Twins and Astros.
That was kind of that was
the
my
Twins. The Astros are going to lose. Astros are a horrendous road team.
Yeah,
just Twins, like the Yankees are not a great road team.
Twins are going to win this one. Houston's really
you want to get spicy. Why, Brett. Okay,
I would take the Astros, but
Oakland
I'm outvoted.
Or Chicago. Oakland or Chicago.
I like this. I love this matchup. but I think I'm going to go. It's going to be Oakland.
I'm going Oakland because I think the White Sox have just been a death spiral for like the last 2 weeks. Like they've qualified for the playoffs, but it got ugly on them.
Oakland, you're going to Hollywood.
I love the White Sox, but yeah, they're something
at Oakland. Come on,
no one got my joke.
On the other
there.
Side,
I it's yeah. The, yeah, I got it. We it's all right. My response was exactly what it deserved.
Dodgers or Brewers?
Dodgers, two.
Yeah,
in one.
1.5. Yeah, that's
all right. Padres or Cardinals?
Padres.
Fun. It's Padres. Slam dunk.
Cubs in Miami. We're saying Miami's going to...
Miami. They've never lost a playoff series.
6-0 and Alcantara.
Now get this one. Reds at Braves.
Reds. Mm. This was my one for Brett's original question. Reds.
With how great Bauer's been.
I know.
And Gray.
This is the one. And, this is the matchup where I'm
and
like,
Castillo.
Ooh, this is the biggest first-round matchup for me.
This is fun. This one and Cleveland, New York, I think, are the two best. Like these.
I mean, Cleveland, New York's going to be interesting, but good night. I am having a very difficult time. I think Atlanta is great. Here's the thing. If Atlanta wins, I like Atlanta over Miami a lot.
Yeah. I think Atlanta, this is if they can get through this, I think Atlanta's next challenge, real challenge, is LA. But this is going to be tough.
Yeah,
They drew the worst wild card team to face.
Okay, so Darby, you say Reds, and Brett, you say Reds?
Yeah, in three. A Soroka start might be enough for the Braves, but like obviously he's done for the year. But if Soroka had a start,
I know. It's such a different equation. And Brett, it's a great point. If it was
the Braves
full
just
strength,
pitching is
if it was full strength, great. The Braves roster, I feel really good about the Braves. But, all right.
I like the Reds offense, but that three pitching
ALDS
second
time.
Best.
Rays or Yankees in San Diego? Rays.
You're the Rays.
Rays.
The Yankees are not the road team that they think they want to be, right?
And I think San Diego favors the Rays. That ballpark
does.
Minnesota and Oakland playing at the Dodger Stadium.
This one's good. I think I'm going to go Oakland here.
Yeah, I feel good about Oakland. I mean, that's the two seed.
I mean, yeah.
It's close.
Montas close. Has been good. They've got Lizardo. Lizardo
has been interesting.
Manaea is healthy, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As healthy as he can be.
Give me Oakland.
Bassett's been a revelation for them. Chris Bassett.
Yeah, and their bullpen has been really solid.
So good.
In
second best.
Yeah. Also, worth noting in five.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, so we're all thinking Oak. All right, on the other side, Dodgers and Padres. Holy crap!
What a series. There's gonna be a ball thrown at somebody.
Oh,
definitely,
this is gonna be good. Best series of the postseason.
Padres playing in the new ballpark in Arlington.
Yeah, where the World Series will be held.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got weird.
In the Lowe's, the converted Lowe's stadium.
Dodgers in five. Very close. Dodgers in five. Very, very close.
I'll go Dodgers in four, but a really exciting four.
I like Dodgers in five as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Miami or Cincinnati?
I love that. I actually would love this series.
Why do we like this Miami team so much? It's not just 6-0.
Pablo Lopez is really good. Like, Pablo Lopez... People are like sleeping on this guy. Like he doesn't have the sexy strikeout numbers of like of Sandy or of Sixto, but he has got great control. That changeup is really fun. I like their pitching. I think the Reds though. They're
former Rays in the lineup. Corey Dickerson.
Three former Rays.
Former Rays everywhere in that lineup.
Yeah, they just Joyce, Matt Joyce, the month of May.
Yeah,
you got Brad Trevor Boxberger.
Oh yeah,
they're just everywhere. Ryan Stanek, the opener.
If 6-0 is at full strength. Well, so the crazy thing about going 5 days in a row is unless you have a starter pitcher on a short rest, you're using your full rotation.
Yes. Well, so Bauer, top to bottom. Bauer says, and that's kind of been supported recently, that he pitches better on short rest on that fourth day, which, I mean, favors him in the postseason. And he's been, he's been probably the best pitcher in the National League.
If Bauer pitches twice, if Bauer pitches twice, if he pitches Game 1, Game 5, the Reds have this.
Yeah. That's why I picked the Reds. Trevor Bauer's big master plan was that he wants to do 1-year deals only to teams that will, that will give him the ability to pitch every fourth day. He's a crazy person, but this is, the Reds have nothing to lose, right? He's a free agent. This is it. Blow it out. Let's go. I think the Reds.
Yeah.
Okay. In 7, Tampa Bay or Oakland?
Tampa.
Yeah. In San Diego.
Yeah.
I like Tampa Bay. I mean, it's a great being the number one seed, but that's a great matchup on a neutral field.
It's a great matchup. The bullpen battle would be fantastic. I think the Rays bullpen's a little bit better, but they're both really good. Like, closer, fantastic. Hendricks versus Anderson.
The great thing about the Rays.
Diekman is the best.
Yeah.
He stole Chazro's slider.
He did.
It'd be fun. It'll be fun.
And the Rays have the pitchers.
He went on Pitching Ninja and found it.
The Rays have the pitchers that can actually strike Tommy La Stella out.
Right. And the floor on the Rays roster is just super high. Right.
Right.
I feel like Oakland is more like a high variance team.
They are.
And I feel like Tampa Bay is a high floor team. And for some reason, I feel good about it. The same way I feel good about the Dodgers, right? So you look at Dodgers versus Reds. Who are you taking?
Dodgers.
Dodgers sweep.
Dodgers.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. I think the Reds get one. Right. Dodgers are amazing. They're an amazing team. They're just a great team, top to bottom. And then they had Mookie Betts.
Do we realize we just projected the Rays to the World Series?
Rays, Dodgers, although that's been like, you can look at The Athletic, MLB.com, ESPN.com. Everyone's picking Rays, Dodgers. Like, that is the popular pick, and it's chalk.
And
it's the one seed. Yeah. It's the one seed.
Other than that, I've seen some Yankees Dodgers picks, but I think that's like probably people that are Peter Gammon's age that are just like crazy Yankees and Dodgers. But yeah, that's the World Series we've picked.
Peter Gammon.
Yeah. Are we gonna pick our World Series?
I don't want to.
I don't want to.
I know. I will. I know. We're all stalling. We have all just started vamping instead of throwing down the gauntlet.
But this does seem like the Dodgers' year, if you believe in that sort of thing. Like, everything that's happened.
I mean, every year is the Dodgers' year.
Right.
Yeah.
In the Dodgers, I would take the Dodgers over the Rays.
I know. Who's got the better offense?
The Dodgers. The
objective.
Dodgers. Yeah.
Who has a better rotation in 7?
Rays.
Debatable, but I would say the Rays.
Rays. I say Rays. I'll say Rays, and it's not just like I don't buy into Kershaw postseason bullshit. I think he's a great pitcher, and sometimes the great pitcher gets tagged. It's small sample size stuff, whatever. I think it's close, but I think the Rays have the better. Give me their top three is the best in this postseason. I think Cleveland and New York and Cincinnati are all very close behind, because you have, for top two,
it feels real close for me.
The scary.
I was going to say a push, right? In terms of playoff rotation, that's a push for me. Right.
I agree. I mean, I agree, but I think that
I think the Rays have a slight edge.
So
it depends. Like, who's that? I mean, with Yarbrough being that fourth pitcher, who's that fourth pitcher for the Dodgers?
Dustin May. I'll take Yarbrough.
Well, they also have Tony.
Gonsolin.
Here we go. Gonsolin.
Gonsolin.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tony Gonsolin's good.
I take the Rays. I take the Rays, but like by a hair, literal hair.
Well, here's why. Bullpen.
Bullpen, Rays. I take the Rays 1,000%.
Rays strong.
Okay, so it's the Rays bullpen versus the Dodgers offense. Mm-hmm. That's the World Series.
Oh, yeah,
some exciting matchups.
It's definitely
ready for John Curtis versus Mookie Betts. Curtis.
I don't think I have it in me to say the Rays will beat the Dodgers, but I'm excited for this year.
I think I think that series would be a lot closer than I think people on chalk would think.
But I think people
Dodgers is a big market, blah blah blah. They have all the stars. They have all the people that people would name, right? Like they are like, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I know that guy.
I mean, they've been to the World Series and lost a few times now. They should be household names.
They are going to be the toughest team to beat in this postseason, because they're the best built team in baseball. They have been this for the last 5 years. And like they are the best team. They're amazing. They have also a team that has like discipline beyond belief because of their GM, right? Like they didn't chase Bryce Harper. They didn't chase some of this like
And your consolation prize is Mookie Betts. Yeah.
They waited. Friedman waited to say, who am I going to throw the money at? I'm not going to just give like a, they didn't chase even Machado, who's very good, but they traded for him.
You know who they ended up with in that trade though, that would play a big part in this postseason, Brusdar Graterol. Like he could be their, not secret weapon, but their key piece for this, a guy that could maybe go multiple innings out of the bullpen.
Brewster versus Pete Fairbanks as the fireman that throw like a absurd pitch in like they'll be in the sixth or the first or the fifth or the eighth. Or
yeah,
the
Minnesota tenth. Has to be kicking themselves on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like
how and Boston.
Boston is the one.
Because they had him. That was part of that trade. And they said, oh, I don't like they were like, I don't like the medicals. And then LA was like, you know what? Fine. We'll take him then. And that's like, gotta
Boston could have had him for nothing else. That was the trade.
That's gotta be kind of be like, oh crap. When Andrew Friedman's like, oh yeah, well I like that deal. I'll take him then. You gotta go like, oh shoot. were those medicals that bad? Yeah. This postseason, this first round is chaos. And then after that, I think we're going to get to some good stuff, but this season, this has been real baseball. And now that we've got here, all these teams really belong. I think we got a fun postseason.
And I will say, I
we all just picked the Dodgers to win the World Series, right?
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. But it could happen. I will say about the first round, I'm not a fan of the 3-game series. I don't think a lot of people are, but Wednesday and potentially Thursday, 8 playoff baseball games in the same day. That will be incredible television. And as a baseball fan, I'm excited for that. I'm not excited about the implications it has about the fairness of the season and all that, especially if they carry it over in the next season and beyond. Right. But that day of the year where every single series has a game will be absolutely incredible to watch on TV. But all right, I think we've covered it all. Gentlemen, thank you guys for hopping on. I mean, this has been fun. Maybe we do some instant reaction pods after a couple of the games. Tomorrow, Rays play at 5:00, or today if you're listening to this on Tuesday. But yeah, thank you guys for listening.
We'll see how close our lineups got.
Yeah, we'll see.